CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to CBS Sky Radio. This is Fired Up with CJ. Our guest today is Vanessa Van Petten, and her website is radicalparenting.com. Be sure to check that out. And you can also check out CJ Liu's website. It's Fired Up with CJ. It's the same as her Facebook, so please go on, and you can see past shows, upcoming events. Get in touch with CJ at her website or her Facebook. And now I'm going to go right back to CJ and Vanessa.
Hey, thank you. Welcome back, everybody. So we are going to be talking about social media. In the first segment, we talked a little bit about the challenge of social media and how kids don't really have a transition now from school life to home life because the social media stuff kind of carries them forward. And so I kind of view that as the bad, one of the bads of technology. But what, you know, what's a more balanced way, Vanessa, to look at the goods and bads of this new technology that is captivating our teens?
Well, you know, it's definitely not all bad, and I've seen some really, really positive things come out of social media. You know, kids being able to feel like they belong places. I actually met a girl who just didn't have a lot of friends at her high school. She was just always alone or left out, and she had an online community that was extremely supportive, and so she went to school for school, and all of her social life was online. So it's not all bad. We definitely, it's a different kind of an outlet. I think that one of the things we can also do to bring up the boundaries, in addition to having a school user and a personal user on computers, is also having tech-free zones in the home. We have this in my household where my mom was so tired of telling us to put away our phones at dinner that she just made the dining room a completely tech-free zone. So she actually has a basket. We have a basket right outside the dining room, and we drop our phones in the basket before we walk into the dining room. Everyone does this. And actually, I don't think she realized how beneficial this would be in the long run. Not only did it save us a lot of arguments, but it also it taught us to not check our phones during meals, which, you know, I'm 28. I cannot remember the last time I went to dinner with a friend and they didn't have their phone face up on the table.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's a real problem with our generation. A lot of people my age are complaining about it, and teens also. So doing that, you're also giving them the life habit of being able to eat a meal and look people in the eye and not check your phone.
I know, it's weird. I see these 20-somethings having dinner together, and they're at a dinner table. They're outside at a restaurant, and they're texting. And I'm like, are they texting each other? Like, how do you like the veal? Like, I can't figure out what they're doing. It's bizarre. I don't get it.
Yes,
I don't
absolutely.
Get it. You know, a friend of mine does this thing where he's a tech guy, so he just takes all wireless connections down during a time that's a tech-free zone. He literally just turns the internet connection off in the whole house, and then he actually gets a connection with his kids.
I love that.
Yeah, he just turns – there's a way, and you basically go and just unplug the wireless –
I think that having tech-free zones in your home, whether that's the dining room or the living room, maybe the bedrooms, you know, even during weekdays, having tech-free bedrooms. And then also, yeah, you can absolutely unplug the router. I think it's really great to have electronic-free times during the week. So, you know, every Saturday afternoon, you can do whatever you want. You can have friends over or whatever. It just cannot be on a device.
Right.
It makes kids dig a little bit deeper into their imagination, spend time with kids. I now see all the time my teenagers usually, and I've been doing this now for 7 years, usually my teens are nowhere to be found Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. I mean, they don't reply to messages, they don't reply to emails, they're not on our chat network. Now I've noticed that actually one of the most popular times is Friday night because a lot of teenagers actually would prefer spend Friday night at home chatting and posting and watching videos with friends. And not with friends, like not physically with friends, like online with friends. There's a new definition of with.
Wow. Oh, that's really fascinating. Okay. and interesting, because I think you bring up a lot of really good points. I mean, the good news is that people have communities. If they're really shy, then perhaps actually having an online community is a way to have a sense of belonging that you wouldn't have otherwise. And
exactly.
A sense of significance, right, which I think is the key thing. We just talked to a guest about belonging and significance is the key thing all of us want. So online has that ability. But I think the thing that you brought up in your book and that you're bringing up here is that it's not really a real connection. You know, it's a different kind. It's a connection, but a different kind of connection than when you
yes.
have when you're with someone face to face.
And we have to be able to teach our children that it's great to have Facebook friends. That's great. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. The thing is there's a difference between your Facebook friends and your best friends, and there's a difference between hanging out on chat and hanging out in real life at your house.
Mm-hmm.
And that those are all okay, they're just very different. And that when you mm-hmm. have a crisis or your friend is upset or you need to talk to someone or you're feeling sad or lonely or depressed or angry, what you want to do is you want to go to your closest friends and you want to do it in person. You
mm-hmm.
don't share secrets, especially with little ones. You don't share secrets with new online friends. They have not figured
right.
that out yet. We
right.
have one word, friend, but actually there should be different words for that. You know, there should be a different word for online acquaintances or friends, and real life friends who you turn to when you're upset. And that's something that little ones, especially tweens, have not figured out. And what happens is they get cyberbullied, their secrets get shared. That's where those things happen.
Ah, interesting. Well, it's funny because with the adult online stuff, oftentimes people are sharing very intimate details of their lives that even their friends, their real life friends, would never even know. Because somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the anonymity of the whole experience kind of goes both directions, right? Where you could take a teenager that you wouldn't know across the country that's, you know, struggling with anorexia and have a really honest conversation with it that you wouldn't be able to do with your real friend because it's kind of a private scenario. So it's a challenging thing because it goes both directions, I think.
Totally, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you the number of times I have found out that one of my close friends is engaged or pregnant on Facebook. You know, we don't tell each other now by calling.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe my closest friends, but some friends that I consider pretty close, I find out with everyone else on Facebook, and I like it, and I say congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I think that it's just bringing a whole new nuance thing to our social dynamics. I also think the other thing my husband and I were talking about in preparation for this radio show, I think, you know, part of what online allows you to do because of the anonymity is you can try out different personas, you know, or different aspects of yourself that you feel like your real friends wouldn't be able to accept. You could actually do on, you know, online, and that would be okay. So I think that, you know, for another good of social media, I think that that's one of the things that happens, whether it's through community or whatever. I don't know. That's what
mm-hmm.
I think is fascinating about online stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about the next couple of events. How can people get in touch with you? Tell us a little bit about the kind of stuff that you do with parents if they want to reach you now.
Sure. So our website is completely free. It's called radicalparenting.com, as you mentioned earlier. There we post articles and trends. We post a lot of book reviews. We're very into literacy at Radical Parenting. So we post a lot of our favorite books. We also are very into board games. So we review family board games for teens, board games for tweens. They're a great way for bonding. So I would highly recommend that you check out the website and submit questions and posts. That's really where we hope to get a new voice into the mix with a lot of our teen writers. We have a ton of teen interns who write for us. So we always love having
it.
New parent readers.
Yeah, I love it. And I love your approach. So thank you so much for being here. And I know this is a busy season for you, but thank you for being here. Tons and tons of really great advice.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure, absolutely. Now, next week we actually talk to Sally Kosloff, who is talking about the trends of our teens returning back to us after they've left for college and start living with us again. Oh, no. So we'll find all about that trend. Thanks again, Vanessa. Everyone have a great
week. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.